on the seventh, the last of the seven Haftarot of consolation. The Avudraham, one of the Rishonim, says that if we take a look at the seven Haftarot, starting from Shabbat Nachamu until this coming Shabbos, which will be Sos Osis, there's a very fascinating progression, or put it better, a dialogue. The first Haftarah begins with the words, on Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, God telling the prophets, console my people, console Yerushalayim, because she has suffered greatly. The second Haftarah says, Vatomet Zion, the second Haftarah begins with the word, Zion said, Azavani Hashem, God has forsaken me, Vashem Shechechoni, and God has forgotten me. Because she's saying, listen, you know, you're telling the prophets to console us, not you. So you just abandoned us. You forgot all about us. And God is going to try and convince her, no, I didn't forget you at all. And it doesn't help, because by the third Haftarah, Aniya Sohara, the stormy poor one, the Jewish people are in turmoil, Lo Nuchama, and is not consoled. Not good enough, God, not good enough. So then the next Haftorah begins with, okay, Onochi, Onochi, who Menachem Chem, I am the one who will console you. Not the prophets, no one else. I'm going to do it. Ah, then the next Haftorah begins with Roni Akora. God says, the barren one, it's time to sing. It's time to be full of joy, because your consolation is coming from God himself. Last week's Haftarah that we learned, Kumi Ori, arise, shine, because God's divine light is shining upon you. We're up to the seventh one, and the seventh already expresses the joy, the happiness, the jubilation of the Jewish people that they are consoled. Sos osis. That's what it says. Sos osis b'Hashem. I will rejoice intensely with Hashem. Togel nafshi be'elokai. My soul shall exalt. Togel is also joy, happiness. Be'elokai. You know, we've made a journey from 7 weeks ago, where the Haftarah was God telling the prophets to console the children of Israel, to God saying, no, I'm going to do it, until finally the Jewish people are full of joy. Sos osis b'Hashem, togel nafshi be'elokai. There's a difference, many words, or certainly a good number of words. There are a few words, let's be precise, a few words that mean happiness, joy, jubilation. You see, you have that in English too. There's sason, there's simcha, there's gila, rina already is joy and song. Sos osis b'Hashem, sos is an inner, a deep joy within. But it's within, and then the sos means that it sort of explodes outward. You can see it. It's written all over. All over. You can see it. A burst of joy. Togel, that means the real, only inner joy. Not enough, you know. No, by a chasana, you dance that sussum. But then as the couple get to know one another, and the real love begins, then it becomes, it's gila, gila, togo. Now, this haftorah, as I've said about many haftorahs, but I think it applies even more over here. When I read it as I would imagine my Zayde, my grandfather, all of a sudden reading it. He died about 2-3 months after the establishment of the state. Or for that matter, it can be anybody reading it 200 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. How would he read it? And in what way is our reading of it different than their reading? I think their reading of it is light years away from the way in which we are able to read it. This is going to be Lahavdil. This is going to be the Jerusalem Post we're going to read today, except that it was written by Yeshayahu 2700 years ago. He foresaw exactly what's happening in our world today. Watch. Sos osis b'Hashem togel nafshi be'elokoi ki hil bishani bigdei yesha. He has dressed me in the clothing of salvation, me'il tzedoko ya'otani, a coat. Me'il is a coat, a robe of righteousness. Now, they translated in English righteousness. In Tanakh, really, most of the time, the word tzedoko means victory. Victory. And most probably it is because when Klal Yisrael is victorious, justice has been done. The word tzedakah here is not from charity, but from tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, pursue justice. When we win on the field of battle, it's not only victory, but it is justice finally being done. So and this is already something that's used in Tanakh often, what overwhelms a person is expressed in terms of garments, of what you wear. God has dressed me in the garments of salvation, me'il tzedakah ya'atani, the cloak of victory surrounds us. Could my Zayde have understood what that meant? No, not a chance. Could a Jew 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000 years ago have understood what it means? Victory? We understand it. They didn't have a clue. All they could have said was, someday, in Yetz Hashem, Chabon Shom, those health and Klal Yisrael and everything is going to be good. But we see it, we experience it. It's part of our everyday life. Kechoson yechahen pe'er v'chachalo ta'adeh keleho. The joy over here is compared to the joy of choson and kala. You know who the choson is? God Almighty is the choson. Klal Yisrael is the kala. And there's now a relationship of profound and deep love between God and the Jewish people. He is like the choson who is clothed in brilliance and in beauty, and she is the kala who's putting on her diamonds. What do they call all those things that women wear? What? Jewelry. I remember that, you know. It's coming to Yom Tov time, we have to start remembering that, okay. Ki ka'aretz totzi tzimcha, let's go further, you know, last week we only did 3 psukim, we're going to do a little more today, I hope. Ki ka'aretz totzi tzimcha, like the earth gives out its growth, brings forth her growth, v'chagana zeru'eo titzmach, and like a garden, gives growth to what is planted. Kein Hashem Elokim Yatzmiach tzedoko utehilo neged kol hagoyim. What a promise. God promises that there will arise in the Jewish people tremendous victory, tzedoko. We said tzedoko is tzedek, righteousness, justice. And he's going to do it so that the Jewish people should be praised neged kol hagoyim. Let the goyim see and let them plot, you understand? The purpose is for them to see. He wants his people to be projected in the world as a power. No more Nebuch, no more wandering Jew, no more despised. They can hate us, but they're scared of us, you understand? There can be anti-Semitism raging in the world, but nobody is going to lift up a hand to a Jew without thinking about it more than once. The situation is completely different. My Zayda wouldn't have understood this at all. It's a new world, and we're Zayda to be living in that new world. Ah. We say, Im eshkochech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, Leman tzion lo echashe, this pasuk. There's a book that was published about a year and a half ago that the first page of the book has that pasuk there. It's one of these runaway bestsellers, touching history. If you haven't heard about it, then you're living in you're just not living in this world. So I put that in on the first page. This pasuk, Leman Tzion lo echashe, for Zion's sake I will not be silent. Uleman Yerushalayim lo eshkod, and for the Jerusalem I will not be still. Ad yetze kanoga tzidka, until her righteousness and her victory will come shining before the world. The Yeshuata, and her salvation is going to be kalapid yivar, like a burning torch. There's a difference between echesher and eshkot. Echesher means silence from speaking out. Eshkot has a completely different meaning. Eshkot doesn't, and I think still that they use here is correct. Eshkot means one who does not act. God is promising, for Yerushalayim's sake, I will not remain silent without speaking out. And Leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot, I will not remain still without acting. For example, the beautiful pasuk in Ruth, when Ruth comes home from the night that she had spent at the threshing floor with Boaz, and she tells Naomi everything that took place and that the man said he's going to marry her. So Naomi tells Ruth, this man, lo yishkot ad asher yaseh kol asher diber. He is not going to remain still until he does everything that he promised to do. So these are two oaths. One, not to remain silent. You have to speak out on behalf of Yerushalayim. And then speaking out, you know, words are certainly not enough. In addition to words, what's necessary is to act on behalf of Yerushalayim. So God says, Leman tzion lo echasheh, uleman Yerushalayim lo eshkot, ad yetze, until her victory will come out before the world, the Yeshuata kalapid yivar, and her salvation will be like a burning torch. I remember, this goes back, I don't know, 25 years, a father and son were killed in a pigua. Their name was Lapid. Hebron?
Bet
Haggai. Huh?
Near Bet
Haggai, father and son. And I remember it was a very big levaya by the great synagogue up the block over here. And the text that Rav Lau Sr. used for the eulogy was Leman Tzion Lo Echasher Ad Yeshuata Kelapid. That ultimately that lapid will create a revolution, and we will ultimately be victorious. Let's go a little further. And here, v'ro goyim tzidkeich, the nations of the world will see your victory. V'chol malachim kivodeich, and all of the kings will see your honor. The Kodaloch Shem Chodosh, and Yerushalayim will have a new name. Asher Pi Hashem Yikovano, God is going to give Yerushalayim its name. Fact is that the Medrash says that Yerushalayim has 70 names. In Tanakh, there are 70 different terms that are used to describe Yerushalayim. But there will be a new name that God will give. Incidentally, obviously what the Navi is saying is, just as the original name of Yerushalayim was given by none other than the Rebbeinu Shem himself, we learned some while ago that famous medrash where God says, if I call the name of the city Yireh, as Avraham did, Shem, the son of Noach, who is a righteous man, is going to be upset. Shem called the name of the city Sholem. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem. So Shem, the son of Noach, called this city Sholem. Avram said, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, at the end of the Akedah, he called the place Yeroeh. So famous Medrash says that God has a dilemma. If I'm going to call the name of the city Yireh, as Avram called it, then Shem is going to be upset. What about my name? I called it Sholem. And if I call it Sholem, as Shem called it, so then Avram Odom Tzadik Yitraim, Avram, who's a righteous man, is going to be upset. Lachem, therefore, Ani Korei Otah, God says, I call the city Yerushalayim, a composite of the two names, the name given by Avram and the name given by Shem, the son of Noah. So God himself is the one who gave this city the name Yerushalayim. Even though, wait a minute, you can ask Akasha, Avram called it Yireh, not Yeru. How did it become from Yireh, Yeru? So the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi say, an Aleph and a Hey equal what? Aleph and Hey equals six. A Vav is six. So God put a Vav over there. Even though, you know, if we wanted to, we could have gotten used to Yireh Sholem. You know? Shana haba b'yireh sholem. But no. God took the aleph and the hay and he made it into a vav, Yerushalayim. Watch. So he's talking about the time that the nations of the world are going to see. And we're beginning to see it. More and more nations of the world, they know the truth already. They know the truth already. It's awesome. I'm telling you, I'm thinking about my Zayda. My Zayda must be jumping for joy. He's seeing something that Jews haven't seen for 2,000 years. Navi goes on to say, V'hayita teret tiferet b'yad Hashem, you are going to be a crown of beauty in the hand of God. U'tznif melucha bekaf velokayach. And a robe or a covering of kingdom in the hand of your God. You're going to be, Yerushalayim will be the precious gem. And incidentally, when the Navi talks about Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is really used as something to describe all of Eretz Yisrael and all of Klal Yisrael, but it begins right here in Yerushalayim. One of the things that bothers me is that sometimes I have to learn a pasuk 100 times until finally I got it. Why did it take so long? Time is flying. Time is going. The next pasuk. Lo ye'amer lach od azuva. Ula'artzeich lo ye'amer od shmama. This pasuk blew my mind away. Okay, let's. It shall no longer be said of you, forsaken one. Lo ye'amer lach. It will not be said about you that you are azuva, you are forsaken. Ula'artzeich lo ye'amer od shmama, and your land will not be called desolate. Kilach yikare, you're going to be called cheftziba. God's desire is in that land. Ula'artzeich bu'ula, and your land is settled. Ki chafetz Hashem boch, because God wants you. Va'artzeich tiba'el, and your land will be settled. What got me all excited? What got me all excited about this pasuk? Everybody is aware of the fact that Mark Twain wrote a book called Innocence Abroad about his visit to Israel in 1867. And he describes there traveling through the valley of Jezreel, Emek Yisrael, and his description is of a land that's absolutely dry, arid, no grass grows, nothing, and nobody's there, you don't see a soul. Of course, Mark Twain has been rewritten and restructured completely, because the Arabs claim they've been living here forever. We've been here since time immemorial. So therefore they have to start changing and rewriting it, because Mark Twain seems to say there was nobody here. There were no Palestinians. There was nobody here. Right. So that immediately, when I read this pasuk this time around, I went to my bookcase and I took out From Time Immemorial. From Time Immemorial is an awesome book that was written by Joan Peters. Joan Peters was commissioned to write a book about the terrible plight of the poor Palestinian refugees. And she began to write the book, but she began with all sorts of research. And she had received a very, very handsome advance money to write the book. In the first few months, she began to see there's something wrong. Something is very wrong. What? The Palestinians were always here? There was nobody here. She began to study, where did they come from? Oh, did she begin to find out information? She went through archives and she studied the British Mandate, and she came up with the awesome discovery that it's all one big bluff. There never was a Palestinian people. There's still not a Palestinian people. The land was, in fact, as Mark Twain said, it was absolutely dry and desolate. And here in the middle of the book, she has a few pages where she describes what visitors to this country said during the past few hundred years. She could have started with the Ramban. When the Ramban arrived in 1267, and we've talked about the Ramban before. He's one of my favorite people. The Ramban who arrived in 1267, and he comes in, you understand, Lishana Haba, Be Yerushalayim. He comes into Yerushalayim. How many Jews are in the city? You should remember. You got to remember. How many Jews are living in Yerushalayim in 1267? Two. He couldn't stay for Shabbos because there was no minyan. Two Jews in Yerushalayim, 1267. And in his famous letter to his children, he writes that the holier the place, the worse is the desolation. He describes a country that's absolutely desolate. And she brings out, I'll just read a few choice pieces. A review of Palestine before the era of prosperity began. When did the era of prosperity begin? With the late 19th century renewal of Jewish land settlement. That's when this country went through a process of renewal. And studying and reviewing the history shows that periodically Palestine was virtually laid waste and its population suffered acute decline. An enormous swell of Arab population could only have resulted from immigration, a movement considered at some length in the following chapters of this book. First, however, it is helpful to see the land that was virtually emptied and why. Dio Cassius, one of the Roman historians, writes at the time of Churban Abayit, of their forts, the Jewish forts, the 50 strongest were razed to the ground. 985 of their best known villages were destroyed. The Romans did an act of absolute devastation to this country. Thus the whole of Judea became desert. And this is a Frumer Roman historian. Thus the whole of Judea became desert, as indeed had been foretold to the Jews before the war. Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu had said it. And that's exactly what happened. One historian after another has reported the same findings. In the 12 and a half centuries between the Arab conquest in the 7th century and the beginning of the Jewish return in the 1880s, Palestine was laid waste. Its ancient canal and irrigation systems were destroyed, and the wondrous fertility of which the Bible spoke vanished into desert and desolation. That was Eretz Yisrael for nearly 2,000 years. Azuva, completely desolate. An archaeologist by the name of Tom Shaw in the 1700s. Desolate, he said. Many parts lost almost all their peasantry. People left. Nobody was able to live in the land. It's unbelievable. The descriptions here are of people spending a little bit of time. Migrants would come through, nomads, stay for a while, but they had to leave because the land was not able to sustain anybody. That takes us back directly to Parshat Bechukotai in Torah, where Torah said it so clearly. God said it, V'shomamu oleha oyevechem hayoshim bo, your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. And God says, V'hashimoti ani et haaretz, I'm going to make sure that it's desolate. And that's good news for the Jewish people. Yeshayahu here is saying, a time is going to come when you're no longer going to be desolate. A time will come when they will not say that you have been forsaken. A time is going to come when there will be millions of people living here. 100 years ago, you didn't have this kind of population. It's unbelievable. This one pasuk, Yeshayahu tells us the story of history Yeah, let me take another, yeah. All the fellows who came, the British consul in Palestine reported in 1857, the country is in a considerable degree empty of inhabitants, and therefore its greatest need is that of a body of population. There's nobody here. Nobody's living in the land, okay? In the 1860s, it was reported that depopulation is even now advancing. In other words, even the people who were already here then started leaving. That means by the time Jews are going to start coming back, there's very little population in the whole country. So that we were right when we said that a people without a land are coming to a land without people. That's exactly historically what it was. And then, of course, Mark Twain. Mark Twain. Stirring scenes no more occur in the Valley of Jezreel. There's not a solitary village throughout its whole extent, not for 30 miles in either direction. The Palestinians couldn't take this. This guy Twain caused a lot of trouble for them. So they rewrote him, that's all. There's no problem with that. Just rewrite it. Google Mark Twain, Innocents Abroad. And then if you can get onto a Palestinian website, you'll find out what Mark Twain really said. Okay. The godless, that's this. I mean, I've been reading this book again. I don't know how many times I read it, but I'm going back to it only because of this passage. We've seen it fulfilled. 100 years ago, you couldn't have read this passage except with the prayer that, yes, Hashem, someday it'll be like that. You will not be called a land that has been forsaken. Your land will not be said that it is desolate. Couldn't say it 100 years ago. Now, of course, we see it. Because you will be called Hefziba. Now, some say that that's the name that God is going to call Yerushalayim. Hefziba, I don't know how that'll... You know, Lishon Abba, Behefziba. I don't know. Okay. But we don't know yet what the name really is going to be. Next pasuk is Ki Yiv'al Bachur Besula Yiv'olu. As a young man lives with a girl, so will your children live with you. The Navi is saying that when the Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be as though they are coming to old land. There's going to be a sense of something new, something fresh. They're also going to come to the land with love. The love that a young man has for a young girl, that's how they're going to come. And that's how they're going to begin to rebuild the land. This is powerful imagery. Ki yev'al bachur besula uv'aluach bonayich umesos chason al kala yasis olayich elokayich. That same love that you're going to have for the land, that's going to be the love and the joy that God is going to have for his people who are in Eretz Israel. Why is this are these powerful images? Incidentally, here there's something fascinating. I think it's fascinating anyway. You know, in Parshas Nitzavim, this week is going to be Nitzavim Vayelech. In Parshas Nitzavim, I once learned it with you. There are 10 psukim that are called the Parshat HaTshuva. And it begins, I'll just read a few psukim and you'll see that you know these psukim. Pasuk says in Torah, chapter Lamed, 30, Dvarim, V'hoyo ki yovo alecho kol ha-dvarim ha'ila, when all of these things will happen, ha-brocha v'ha-klola, then you will begin a process of tshuva, and part of that process of tshuva is going to be v'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha, God is going to return you your captivity. These are psukim that we're going to be saying in Slichus and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. V'shav v'kibetzo mikol ha'amashet efitzcha Hashem Elokecha, so my God is going to gather you in from all of the nations where you have been dispersed. And God is going to bring you to the land that he promised to give to your fathers. And then, toward the end of those 10 psukim, it says the following. God is going to give you abundance because of all of the work of your hand. With the fruit of the womb that we talked about, the country with the highest birth rate in the world is Israel. And proof of it was in yesterday's paper. I did get the Jerusalem. I am getting the Jerusalem Post into this year. 10% of the garbage in Jerusalem. Did you read that article yesterday? 10% of the garbage in Jerusalem are paper diapers. Soiled diapers, the highest percentage of soiled diapers in the whole world. No garbage any place in the world has as many diapers. I read that yesterday. Look what you can learn from the garbage of Yerushalayim. Look what you can learn from it. It is, we have the highest birth rate, yes. You better come closer and you better speak louder.
I thought that the problem with the paper diapers is that since they're not biodegradable, they don't know what to do with them.
Don't know what to do with what?
These paper diapers are not biodegradable.
This shiur is not about the biodegradability of diapers. The shiur is about the birth rate. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about the birth rate. I mean, if you want to talk to Al Gore about the world overheating, that's okay. But I'm talking about children. I think that most probably you would be doing something great for this country if you would be able to invent and discover a biodegradable diaper. Yeah, this is very, you're right, serious. Yeah, but yeah, I'm a theologian, I'm not a scientist, all right. Now watch, I'm reading this passage. God is going to bless the fruit of the womb, ufri admosecha, and the fruit of the land. Why? Ki yoshuv Hashem losus olecho letov. God is going to be full of joy with you as he was full of joy with your fathers. That's going to be the end game in history. And that's exactly what Yeshayahu is saying over here. Umusos chotan al kala yosis olaya chelukoyach. Obviously, as we've been learning it last week and this week, you, of course, will find themes that are repeated in Lechododi. Lechododi was taken mainly from these chapters in Yeshayahu. Okay, where? Al chomotai Yerushalayim hifkadeti shomrim. God says, on your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed guardians. I think I said it on Yom Yerushalayim, that when I was here learning in yeshiva in 55 and 56, the guardians on the walls of Jerusalem were Jordanian soldiers. And they shot and they killed from those walls. Rabbi Shem says over here, no, that's going to change. Al Chomotayach Yerushalayim, on your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed Shomrim. Kol Hayom V'Chol HaLaila, all day and all night. Tamid, constantly. Lo Yechashu, they will not remain silent. Hamaz Kirim Et Hashem, those who remind us of God. Al Domi Lachem, you who protect the walls of Jerusalem, don't remain silent. You have a job. You have a task. You have a task to do. Nishba Hashem b'yamino, didn't I say it? That if we are the ones who take the oath, im eshkochech Yerushalayim tishkach yamini, this chapter in Yeshayahu is God's oath. Nishba Hashem b'yamino, God swears with his right hand. Ubizroa uzo, and with the might of his strength. And what does he swear? Imetein et degonecha, od machali oyevecha, I will never give your grain again to your food for your enemies. V'im yishtu b'nei necha tirosheich, strangers and foreigners are not going to drink of your wine. Ashi yogatbo, that you, whatever you toiled with, whatever you will toil with is going to be yours and remain yours. A world robbed from us. The wealth that Jews have left throughout history, wherever they went. Awesome wealth. We talked about it last week, where the Navi was saying that payback time is coming, and the nations of the world are going to have to repay all that they stole for us. And here God promises that's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. So I'm looking at Queenie, and I'm assuming that Shivade certainly has her Jerusalem Post over here. You have to read Carolyn Glick today. Unbelievable. Carolyn Glick. The State Department, the American State Department, is planning when there was the war in Iraq. When was that? 1991, when we were in the sealed rooms in the invasion of Iraq. The American government walked off with the archives of the Jewish community of Iraq. Thousands upon thousands of documents. Svarim, Kitvei Yad, manuscripts. And the State Department is planning to give it back to Iraq. They stole it from the Jewish community. They stole the intellectual and spiritual wealth of the Jewish community. It was done in the open. The Americans brought it here to the United States. And now they plan on giving it back to them. Not yet a State Department like this. Now we need a President Trump to get up there and start tweeting, you understand? They're going to give the wealth, the spiritual and intellectual wealth of the Jewish community of Iraq. You know what the Jewish community of Iraq is? That was Bavel, Talmud Bavli. The greatest works of Jewish history were done in Iraq. And they're going to give it back to them? No. Whatever your gadbo, whatever it is you toiled, that's going to be yours. Nobody else will be able to get their hands on it. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. You see, I'm making a prediction over here. Understand? It will not go back. And if we don't get the women of the wall and all of those other Fashlugan to demonstrate is to go demonstrate about something serious instead of making a tumult over here, daven once a month, okay? They should be in the United States standing in front of the State Department and demanding that every last parchment belongs to the Jewish people and it has to be brought here to Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh. All right, I got that off my chest. Very good. The pasuk goes on to say, God promises ki ma'asfav, those who are going to gather in, those who are going to harvest, they're the ones that are going to eat it. Nothing is going to be stolen from the Jewish people again. Ki ma'asfav, those who gather in, yochlu, will eat it. Ve'hilulu et Hashem, and they will praise God. Umikaptsav, and those who brought it together, yishtuhu, they will drink. Yes. Bechatzrot kodshi, in my holy court. Ah, watch. This next pasuk, another one of the psukim that I learned, I finally got it. Took a long time. Ivru, ivru basharim, panu derech ha'am. Solu, solu hamasilo, saklu me'evin, harimu neis al ha'amim. Ah, by the way, I should point out that throughout these seven haftorahs, there's a form of emphasis of repetitions. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. Onochi, onochi, hu menachemchem. Sos osis, uri uri. It's throughout, and here this pasuk says, "Ivru ivru b'sharim, go through the gates, panu derech ha'am. Clean the way before the people. Solu solu hamasila, pave pave the road." Saklu me'evan, remove the stones. Make sure that all the roads and the highways are all clear, clean. Harimu neis al ha'amim, lift up a banner. Number of ways to learn pshat in this pasuk. Number one, that it's talking about Jews are coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So they have, you see these tour guides that walk around with a flag so that everybody should be able to see where they are. Nobody get lost, especially adults. They're getting lost all the time. So, you know, hold this up. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. This is a banner so the Jews from all over the world should know where to come. But not only should know where to come, they should also know. They should also have a highway. The highway has to be ready. The roads have to be clear. But the Mefarshim give all sorts of other things that it may be talking not about Jews coming from out of Eretz Yisrael, but Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They all have to come to Yerushalayim. You have to make sure that the roads leading to Yerushalayim are wide. Wide. I kept saying that for the last 2 years while they were widening Highway 1. God, do you know how many roads in this country are being widened today? What about all you people who go to Ramat Beit Shemesh? Is there anybody who doesn't have an anicle in Ramat Beit Shemesh? All right? Ramat Beit Shemesh, 38. 38. 38 was a little nothing. It was like 42 in the mountains 100 years ago in the Catskills, you understand? 38 is 38. Oh, God, 38. And one. And up in the Galil, they're always, I don't know, they've been working on it for 20 years and they're still not finished. This is what the pasuk is talking about. There are going to be a lot of people in this country. The Navi saw it all clearly. All of the work they're doing on the roads was all foreseen by Yeshayahu 2,600 years ago. Ivru, ivru, basharim, panu derecham, make a way for the people. I went further and I said that it may also be talking about the fact that Yeshayahu, the famous Yeshayahu, that all the nations of the world are going to flow to Yerushalayim. So I think Highway 1 is going to have to be even bigger than it is right now. there are, you know, there are places where there are traffic jams even now on the widened, expanded Highway 1. But that's all. The Navi saw it all. The growth over here. Everything. Everything was seen. And he described it all. But I don't know why the Pasuk didn't get my neshama until I learned it again this week. Why do you have to have those highways expanded? Because Hinei Hashem Hishmi Al Kitzei Haaretz. Because God has sent the word out to the very ends of the earth. Imru Bat Zion, tell to the daughter of Zion. The Jews are called Bat Zion. Imru Bat Zion, Hinei Yisheich Bo, your salvation has come. Hinei Scharo Ito, God's reward to you is with him. Upulato, and whatever he does is lefanav. The time, here comes the payback time. You suffered throughout history. Now is the time to return. And you know what? V'koru lehem. You know what they're going to call the Jewish people? Jewish people are going to be called Am HaKodesh, the holy people. Geulei Hashem, redeemed by God. And here, again, V'loch yikarei, you will be called Drusha. Drusha means that there are people here who seek out the land. It's not 150 years ago where there's very little population. And you know what you are? You are Ir Lo Ne'ezova, a city that has not been forsaken. A whole new story. As I described to you some while ago, the Yerushalayim today is not the Yerushalayim of 1955 and 1956. It was a klein shteitala, you understand? It was a klein shteitala. Much, much smaller than it is today. In population and in area, I don't want to use the word exploded, you know. We have to use a different kind of word. It has expanded. As it has expanded, can't compare, nothing to compare. So go ahead and compare it with 1267. I don't have to tell you for the 10th time how many people were in Yerushalayim in 1267. You won't forget that. It's unbelievable. The Navi described it all. I'm just going to begin with the next part, because the next part is so powerful, so powerful, but it has to be studied. The Navi asks, Mizeh bo me'edom? Who is this that comes from Edom? Edom is, in Tanakh terminology, that's Rome. Esav, the Christian world. Who is this? Imagine a man standing on the ramparts of the wall of the old city. He's looking out over there, and you know, maybe you see a man galloping on a horse, coming closer and closer, and he asks, Mizeh bo me'edom, who is this that's coming from the direction of Edom? Chamutz begadim. His garments are soiled. One soiled, it seems like it's wine that has gone bad. There's something red about his garments. Mizeh bo me'edom chamutz begadim mi botzro. Who is it that is coming with reddened garments from Botzro? Botzro was the great Edomian city. Now there is a Basra in Iraq. I don't think that's the city that they're talking about. But anyway, here is this man standing on the ramparts, and he says, who is this? Zehodur Bluvusho, the one whose garments are so beautiful. Tsoa, he's marching, Brov Koho, with his great strength. Who is this? Who is it? And the answer is, Ani medaber b'tzedaka, I talk in righteousness. Rav Lahushia, the one whose salvation is great. So the man standing on the ramparts asks him, why are your garments red? Why is your clothing red? Your clothing is like somebody who's been pressing grapes in the wine press, stained with red. And he answers, this is God speaking, Puro dorachti levadi. I stamped and I trampled on the grapes alone. Umei amim ein ish iti, and from the nations of the world, none are with me. He's talking about the enemies of Israel. Ve'edrechem be'api, I stamped on them with my anger, and I crushed them, the Hamasi, with my wrath. And you know what happened when I crushed them? V'yez nitzcham al begadi, their eternity. Nitzcham means their blood, the life. It sprinkled, my garments were stained with the blood of the enemies of Israel, whom I have crushed. V'chol malbushai egolti, and I soiled all of my garments. But I was out there. I did it alone. Nobody was there to help me. This is the second and the final level of payback. And last week's Haftorah, the payback was the money that they stole from us, the land that they stole from us, the archives that they stole from us. And here we're talking about their lives. They're going to pay. The enemies of Israel are going to pay. Kiyom nakom belibi, because there is a day of vengeance in my heart. Ushnat geulai ba'ah, and the year of my redemption has come. Redemption comes after nakom. Yes, they can't get away with it. There comes the moment of reward for us and punishment for them. Ve'abit ve'ein ozer ve'eshtomein ve'ein someich v'atosha lizroi v'chamasi hismachasni. I looked around, and it may be God speaking of himself or speaking about the Jewish people. I looked around, and there's nobody there to come to the aid of the Jewish people. I was amazed. Ein someich, no support, abandoned by everybody. So you know what I did? Vatosha lizroi, my arm, my strength, brought my salvation. Vechamosi, my wrath, hismachosni, that's what gave me my support. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. So there are, you know, if we make a list, there are some we can take off the list. I think Syria, we can take off the list. Lebanon, we can take off the list. Iraq, most probably two. No, there must be other countries around the world who take off the list. The next one on the list is Iran. But the Rabbi Shalom, he's going to take care of them. This is clear. If we have seen nearly everything that Yeshayahu said over here, which could not have been realized 100 years ago, is absolute current events today, then if the Navi says that the enemies of Israel will be crushed, you better believe it. An imam in Bemura Shlema, that's exactly what will happen. The only thing that I pray for is that we should be zeichet to see it in our day. Im Yetz Hashem, we're learning next week.